shall rejoice and be glad in it. Would you please join us in worship? Amen.
God greets us this morning with these words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's turn now and greet each other with a wave, eye contact, maybe a little smile in the eyes, and say, "The peace of the Lord be with you." Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord. Let's continue our worship and song.
Amen.
I'm not gonna live
Nothing too hard for our God. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. We just thank the Lord for the opportunity to worship in the midst of what we're dealing with as a nation, as a people, as God's people. Well, we just thank God for continuing to be with us, continue to comfort us. And we know that's true because we have the Holy Spirit with us. Amen.
Your glory.
us become aware.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your
You may be seated. Go ahead. Right? Not used to these things. Good morning. I'm Jill Feikma. I'm an elder here at New Hope Church, and we are so glad everyone is here today to worship with us. We're going to begin continue our worship with a reading from Our World Belongs to God, and I would like you to join in number 35 when the slide appears and says people. In our world, where many journey alone, nameless in the bustling crowd, Satan and his evil forces seek whom they may scatter and isolate. But God, by his gracious choosing in Christ, gathers a new community, those who by God's gift put their trust in Christ. In the new community, all are welcome. The homeless come home, the broken find healing, the sinners make a new start. The despised are esteemed, the least are honored, and the last are first. Here the Spirit guides and grace abounds. Join me now. The church is the fellowship of those who confess Jesus as Lord. She is the bride of Christ, his chosen partner, loved by Jesus and loving him, delighting in his presence, seeking him in prayer, silent before the mystery of his love. So we have a few announcements this morning before we enter into congregational prayer. I just want to thank everyone for being here, and particularly for showing love in this way. Thank you all for wearing masks We really do appreciate how you have risen up with resilience, because this is not always an easy thing. So this is how we show our love for each other at New Hope, and I'm so glad that you've all risen to the challenge. So we're going to continue to wear masks indoors, except for the worship team, while they're doing their thing here. So, and then when we sit down, we'll wear masks. So thank you so much for doing that. As you leave today, the usher or ushers will help you with spaciousness. So wait for them to give you the sign to leave so that we can maintain some space by the doors. And our offering today is for the general fund, and it's in the basket in the back as you leave. You may deposit it or make your gift online. Let's enter let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are a good and gracious God, and we are the church, the bride of Christ, loved by you and chosen to be your partner in this hurting world. We worship you today. You are holy, merciful, and just. And the psalmist declared, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But we confess, Lord, that we come to worship today a little weary. We lament a broken world that carries viruses, violence, pain, and suffering. We lament that we cannot worship together the way we would like. The masks, the distance, and the separation feel awkward and difficult, and we recognize that things are not what we would like them to be. Today, our hearts long to join with our entire church family here in this place. We lament for our dear friends who are homebound or ill and cannot be with us. We think of Mill and Anna Mae Vendrunen and pray that you give them strength and bless him as Mill is wheelchair bound. We ask that he is not discouraged by physical limitations. Anna Mae and Mill are your faithful witnesses to your goodness and grace, and we miss them in our fellowship. We also pray and thank you for the progress that Tim Jansma is making after his surgery. We pray that his nerve pain will vanish and that his recovery will be steady, so that he can return to work and many of the activities he loves. We also pray for those who we know who are struggling with pain from addictions. God, give them grace and healing and hope. We pray for those whom this virus means isolation. Help us to remember them daily, to encourage them and to lift them up to you in prayer. We lament that we cannot always raise our voices in song to bring you glory as we would like to. Dear Heavenly Father, take what we can do and make it lovely and good and in praise to you. Forgive us for our lack of love of worship in the past. Help us to value our worship, whether it be here in our homes or even in our cars in a parking lot. We pray for our church leaders who bear a deep burden for your people. Give them wisdom, energy, and grace in their calling. Be with our pastor and his family and bring him back to us refreshed and with a clear sense of provision for his work ahead. And we pray for our village of Lansing and our surrounding communities and ask you, God, to provide the way for peace and reconciliation to rule where it is needed. We pray today especially for the work of Bible League International and ask that you will use them mightily to bring Bibles and training to under-resourced churches throughout the world. Encourage them and protect those whom they serve. God, you are Lord over all of the church, and we are your bride, and your work in this world is not limited by human hands. You will not leave us. We rest in the assurance of your mighty hand to save and provide for every single one of our needs. Teach us new ways of bringing mercy to this hurting world today. Forgive us where we have fallen short. Help us to be gracious to others where we may disagree. Give us inspiration where there is darkness. Lead us by your Holy Spirit, for we know you are the God who is faithful. You will do all these things, and we need not fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have the pleasure to introduce our pastor for the day, Andrew Earnshaw. He comes to us from Bible League International. And I said I would share a little story of my experience with Bible League International. When I was a little girl, my dad worked at a printing company. And they did printing for then, it was called the Bible League. So the World Home Bible League, I think, way back. And he would often bring home the seconds of Bibles, which were Bibles that were not maybe cut right or were not quite right. And sometimes he would bring home Bibles of other languages, and it was always fascinating to me as a little kid to see the Bible in Russian or the Bible in an Asian language, or it was just really something that always sparked my imagination. So I sort of have a long time connection, but Andrew started with the Bible League some 5 years ago as the director of partner relations, and he's following the call to ministry. He's working on a degree of Master of Ministry from Kuiper College. So he is now the director of U.S. ministries for Bible League International. I see I trip it up. I can't do it. He lives in Highland. He's married. He has 3 children, and he grew up in this area. So we welcome him today to our worship.
Lost your hearing, I'm going to ask you to try to hear me, but I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, and thank you, Jill. And I appreciate this church. You guys may not know this, but you've supplied 225,000 Bibles around the world since we've been partnered with you, and that's an amazing thing. And I have some slides here. I got a little transitional thing. Let's see. And so you guys have touched people all over the world, maybe directly or indirectly. And I've had the opportunity to work at Bible League for 5 years, and it's been an exciting journey, and God's opened up doors for me to see the ministry in action. And a couple years ago, they said I was going to Argentina. And I was like, man, Argentina, that's not really a third world country, is it? And, they probably have resources. But then when we showed up, this was the area that we were working in. And this is just one of the slums down there. And this is where their kids in this area grow up. Some of them have no parents. Some of them just have a single parent that is working full time. And they really don't have much. And the government isn't really doing much to reach out and to provide anything for these kids. So what happens is the church reaches out. And the church is really their only hope in these areas. And we partner with the local church to get them resources, training material, Bibles, everything that they need so that they can do the work of spreading the gospel. And we see transformation in lives all around the world. Just these two people, they're about my age. They both came from this area. The girl with the orange wrap around her head owns a salon. And she actually goes and cuts hair for the kids in this neighborhood. And this guy, too, had a rough upbringing, grew up in one of these slums, and now he operates a thrift store, which actually provides food, provides resources for these kids in this area. And so it's amazing to see how God works and how he transforms and how he moves. And you could see the kid right there They go through the gospel and they're transformed by it. They're transformed by Christ. And that is thanks to God, but thanks to you for allowing God to move through you and through this church. And we appreciate that. And our mission is to serve the under-resourced church around the world and to offer them scriptures and materials, and some of our cornerstone verses are up there. But we're in 50 different countries. As was talked about, we're in everywhere from the Middle East to places in Africa to Asia. And so we're in persecuted areas, places that are a little bit more hostile to the gospel, and places that just don't have the resources to be able to reach out to people. And so we've been around for about 82, going on 83 years, but just in the last 30 years, and these numbers are a little bit outdated already, but we've reached over 55 million people now, over 4 million people trained, and 72,000 churches planted. And just to put that into perspective, because Bible League's been local for a while, people don't realize the grasp of all this thing. But even in this, by the time church is over this morning and we go to lunch, a church will have been planted through Bible League. That's, you know, 7 churches a day, 15 people an hour are being trained, and over 208 people an hour are being reached with the gospel. So we appreciate your support and for what you're doing to make that happen as well. So if you would open up your Bibles to me, with me, to Matthew 6, verses 1 through 21. We will read that together. And before we begin, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. Father, we thank you for how you take care of every single one of our needs. God, whether we say it or not, God, we take so much for granted, but you are always at work. You are always moving. You're always refining, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you don't leave us in our darkness. You don't leave us in our sin. But Lord, that those who call upon your name are saved. And Father, you don't just take us and give us eternal life, but Lord, you equip us in this life. You give wisdom, you give strength, you give comfort, you give peace. Father, we thank you for that. And God, just as we sang this morning, God, we just ask that you would move by your Spirit in our hearts. Father, illuminate the text, illuminate what you want to speak to us personally this morning. Father, we welcome you here. God, you are welcome. We ask that you would move by your Spirit, that you would illuminate what you'd want to illuminate, and Lord, that we would look more like you, Jesus. So we thank you for your goodness, and we just ask that you'd bless this reading in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew 6, starting at verses 1 through 21. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And did you notice that last line? Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Up until a couple years ago, I would have said that I was a Christian, that I believed in Christ. And the one thing that didn't click was I wouldn't say that Christ was my treasure. I'd say that I believed in him, but it was more like hell insurance rather than actually having him be the treasure of my heart. My treasures were really success, my own comfort, power, money, pretty much anything that would just make me feel better about myself. And those gave me a feeling of freedom and control over my life. But really, at the end of each of those things, every time I thought one thing would bring me happiness, I just ended up in more despair. And these things are really just a delusion. And because Christ and God is not at the center, wasn't at the center of my heart, I would run to other things, I would put my hope in these things, but they would just leave me worse off than I was. And they caused a lot of sin and a lot of hurt for everybody else. And this is the state of the world, and we all see this. We know right now with everything that's going on, everybody has an opinion about what should be done. Everybody has an opinion for what's going to save people. But we know that the only thing that will save people is God himself. And so Jesus begins this. This is what we just read is right at the beginning of, or right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount not saying, blessed are the rich, blessed are the successful, blessed are the ones that have power. He says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, the ones that thirst for righteousness, the ones that are meek and weak. And he flips this whole thing on his head. And the reason he talks about the meek and the weak ones being the ones that receive the kingdom of God is because they're the only ones that can receive that. When we're broken, that's the only way that we can see God as our treasure, because often our own desires trump God. So Jesus confronts three idols in the text this morning. And what I see here is the idols of money, time, and food. And giving up these things don't make any sense unless we're in relationship with Christ. And so I want to give you an analogy of a car. I'm not a big car guy, but this is just what God put on my heart. And a lot of us are in a garage, and we just stay stagnant as Christians, and we don't often want to step out. But God has a mission for us, and the only way we can accomplish that mission, the only way that we can see that will is to move, is to get out and to drive, get out of the garage. And if our treasures are in the wrong places, that's going to be hard for us to do. And so we want to look at the first thing that Jesus says in this text, and it's so important that he says it before every other command that he gives. He says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So I used to have a car that I ran over a curb one time, and so when I'd be on the highway, if I'd let go of the steering wheel, it would just take me to the left real quick. So I was never really able to let go of that steering wheel because I probably would have hit another car. And our heart steers us towards the desires, towards the things that we want. And usually those desires are all about us. Usually those things are what we feel is going to elevate us. And we may be even, maybe our desires are even virtuous and right. Maybe they look good in the eyes of Christians. But if they're centered in pride, our heart is not going to be aligned. We're going to go off course. And this can happen at once, where all of a sudden it jerks to the left and we go off the road. Or it can happen over time where we don't even notice it. But Jesus knows the damage that pride can cause. The Bible talks about pride being detestable. And we don't often look at pride, but the more pride we have, the the less we seek God, and the more we dislike our fellow man as well. We start judging people. We start thinking we're superior. And so we need to make sure that that steering wheel of our hearts is aligned with the motives of God's heart. And then Jesus goes on to talk about how we, when we give to the needy, let's not sound any trumpets before us. Let's not do it to be praised by others. Because God says, Jesus says, truly I say, they've received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And we know this too. The love of money distracts us. It keeps us busy. It consumes us. It keeps us up at night. And we all know that we should be giving, and giving to things like Bible League International. But anyone that looks around at our music, at our TV, they know that everybody's talking about money all the time. But you know, can you guess how many Bible verses there are about money? There's over 2,000 Bible verses about money. And 40% of Jesus' parables have to do with money. And why is that? It's because money gives us a false feeling of control and of power. And it doesn't just protect us, it doesn't just buy us food, but it makes us feel better than others. And so Jesus even warns that when we give it away, don't let it just be buying popularity. Don't let it just buy you recognition, but give it away in the secret place. That's why Jesus says, don't even let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, because the minute we do that, we feel good about ourselves. We feel like we've earned something. And it's a false sense of superiority. And so Jesus says, if that's what you want, if that's that false sense of superiority, or thinking that you're better, or thinking that you can earn your way, that's your reward. And when we rely on that, it's like relying on tires that are threadbare. They just keep spinning and spinning. And we hoard money thinking that that's what's going to give us traction in this life, that's what's going to advance us, when really, the only thing that can do that is God. So when we give away our money, we're advancing the kingdom, and we're growing spiritually. It's an act of faith. That's when we start moving forward. We think so often that it's what we know that is what's going to take us ahead, but Jesus is asking us to step out in faith and to put our money where our mouth is. And I believe this applies to more than just financial giving. This might be letting go of our traditions. Maybe it's letting go of the things that we value and the things that we hold on to that might not be biblical, that we think looks right, but is just our own personal desires. But when you give that up, God will always replace it with something better. And I can witness before you, and I know a lot of you have your own stories of how you might have stepped out in faith when you heard God speaking to give something to somebody, and how that blessed and how that multiplied. And that's what God is asking us to do. And then Jesus goes on to talk about praying. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't stand on the street corners. Don't just babble on. Those that do that have received their reward. But pray in secret. Go into the closet, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus knew the power of prayer. If you start reading the Gospels and you look before Jesus went and healed, before he went and cast out demons, before he chose his disciples, before he went to the cross, he was always spending time in prayer. It said that he would go away at early in the morning before anybody else got up, and he would go to the mountainside and pray. And we've forgotten about the prayer closet in modern Christianity. We might know, you know, to say the right things. My kids and I, we pray before dinner, we pray before bedtime, but how often are those things just routine things? And it's not just a supernatural button to snap before bed. We need to go and spend time in prayer in the secret place, in that quiet, in the closet where nobody else can see. And you look at some of the wisest men in the Bible. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I doubt it was just getting on his knees, saying a quick prayer, and picking up and going again. David strengthened himself in the Lord, the Bible talks about. That looks more like time spent understanding and knowing God and getting to know who we are in Christ. and less than just offering our anxious requests up to Him. And this is the secret place is where God shapes us. It molds us. It's where we get revelation. That's who we know who God really is, that He's love. That's where we face our demons. A lot of people, it's so hard in our modern culture to sit down and be quiet because we start to feel this guilt. We start to feel this weight. We're so restless that we can't sit. But that's where God really starts to show us His truth and His goodness. And that's where God really starts to show us His love. And without love, Christianity is just a resounding gong. We need to be in that place of intimacy with God. And Jesus goes right on to the Lord's Prayer. He talks about our Father who art in heaven. And we could do a sermon about each and every one of these verses. But what I see here is when we don't know what to pray, we have Scripture. We have the words of Christ. We have the words of Jesus. And the Psalms and things of people that have experienced what we are experiencing, the pain of life, the struggle of life. And when we don't know what to pray, this is a perfect opportunity to open up Scripture to remind us that it's not all about us, that it's not all about our desires, that it's about God's kingdom. It's about praising His name. It's about praying the kingdom to earth. And this is where we forget. There's an interesting Bible verse. My brother James, he often quotes it. It's a newer translation. It says, "Enter His courts with the password of praise." When we spend time hallowing His name, when we spend time praising Him, that's when we really start to experience Him on a deeper level. And that's where we become lost in prayer. And I think it's interesting how Jesus talks about right after the Lord's Prayer, He goes, "Forgive others so that your Father will forgive you." And He doesn't, that's not just a standalone verse. It's right in there between prayer and fasting. And I think the reason that forgiveness is talked about in that part of Scripture is because forgiveness is impossible without prayer. It's impossible without knowing God and His goodness, and that Jesus paid the ultimate price for us. That's where we come to see our sin, and we see the weight of it, and we see how God so lovingly forgave us, that when we look out, we can see even the worst things that have been done to us, and we can let go of those things, we can release those things. And it's out of that intimacy with God where that happens. And so we need to pause, we need to pump the brakes, we need to stop. Stop going constantly, restlessly, just keeping ourselves in a panic busyness. And I'm guilty of this. I'm talking about this from experience. I love that feeling of just business busyness and just going and going and going. But God is calling us to stop because there's so much more that we can do in the prayer closet, so much more that God can do than what we can do. And He calls us to stop and slow down and just pull over. And so Jesus goes on to talk about fasting. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you." I think Jesus orders these three things like this on purpose, just like I talked about forgiveness. He talks first about giving, then He talks about praying, and then He talks about fasting. And I think giving is probably the easiest of the three, although that can be difficult. Praying is difficult as well, but fasting is on another level. And fasting, like I was saying, is so deeply tied into prayer because it becomes almost a living prayer. It becomes a desperation. It becomes a clinging to God in the fasting. And we don't talk too much about that in our circles, but it's so important. I just want to give you some examples from Scripture of people that have fasted. All right, Jesus fasted for 40 days before He started His ministry. Right before He delivered this Sermon on the Mount, the chapter before this is Him in the wilderness fasting. Moses fasted for 40 days and He got the Ten Commandments. Hannah couldn't have a baby, so she entrusted God and refused to eat and was given Samuel. The Jews fasted multiple times and were spared. The story of Esther shows that. Jehoshaphat, another kingdom is coming against them. They prayed and fasted, and God delivered them. John the Baptist, David, Daniel, Solomon all fasted for wisdom and they received wisdom. And there's more stories than that. And we've lost that. But fasting brings us to an end of ourselves because you're giving up one of the things that are essential to our lives, food. We can't go for too long without it, but we can skip meals. We can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can go days and weeks. And God warns us about becoming too comfortable. We need to fast. We need to unclutter. In Ezekiel, he says, look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. And that's a pretty strong warning against complacent Christianity. And this is how I lived most of my Christian life. And it wasn't until God's grace and his goodness saved me out of that and started to show me that the more I walked in this, the more we hear the voice of God, the more we deny ourselves. All three of these things are denying ourselves. It's picking up our cross and following him. It's walking in the way of Christ. And that's what unclutters you. That's what clears the gunk out of the tank. And God gives us new oil and the power of the Holy Spirit. And it cleans us out. It helps us to run better. It makes us more sensitive to his voice. It makes us more efficient because we're called as children to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the flesh. And when we walk by that power, we see God move in miraculous ways and powerful ways. And this is where God reveals our destination. Again, we go back to the verse that we started talking about in the beginning. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So is Jesus talking about all these rewards as a spiritual bank account that we just put off to the side like a retirement account someday and tap into later? And I don't think that is. I think there are things like that. I think we lay up crowns for ourselves in heaven, and Paul talks about how, you know, our suffering doesn't compare to the riches that lie ahead. But I believe our reward is for now as well. Look at how he rewarded people with wisdoms, with blessing, with being able to hear his voice by giving them victory. But that's not for ourselves. This is for his kingdom. And Jesus tells us to, later on, to pray in his name, and everything that we ask will be given to us. But that's not just some supernatural thing like in Jesus' name we tack onto the end of a sentence so that God will hear our prayers. That's praying in the nature of Jesus. That's praying in the likeness of him. That's praying his will. And the more we do these things, the more we deny ourselves, the more we give of ourselves with the right motivation of knowing God and loving God, of walking in his ways and living out our purpose in the way that he's called us to, the more he refines us to look like Christ, to give us the heart of Christ, to give us the desires of Christ. And we experience the love of God in such a deeper way, in a way that really, truly transforms and moves us. And that's where Jesus talks about, you know, life abundant and peace. That's where God really reveals himself in these places. And these things align us with the will of God, gives us passion to pursue them. Not out of guilt. Not out of a place of oh, I should do this. Oh, now I got to fast and pray and now I got to seek him. But out of want. The more we desire, the more we move towards that, the more God just naturally bears fruit through us. I always think about what Jesus said in John about a tree doesn't bear fruit by itself. It's connected to the vine. We have to be connected to Jesus. And the more we hear him clearly, the more we do that. So Jesus is telling us to pull out of the garage. Jesus gives us these things, these three practices to get our mind off of ourselves and onto him, to strip us down, to walk more like him. God calls us out of the garage, and as we start to drive, we start to see him more clearly. We start to see the supernatural in our lives. We start to see the miraculous power of him. But if we stay parked, we'll continue to see the same thing, the inside of the four walls of the garage. And that might be a safe place to be. We might not ever get dented up. We may not get scratched. We won't get dirty.
but we're also not serving our purpose. It's only once we pull out of the garage, that's when we see God start to move in miraculous ways. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, God, and we just ask that you would, Father, continue to refine us, move in us, Father. We need you. We can't do this without you, Lord. And so we ask that you would quicken us by your Spirit, Lord, Father. Put a hunger, put a desire, God. We know that you've called us to more than what we're even living into right now, Father, that you take us from faith to faith and glory to glory. So, Lord, we just ask that you would have our way in our lives, Lord. We ask that you would show us the goodness and the mercy and the kindness, Lord, Father, that would motivate us to move forward. And, Father, I just ask for this body, for all of us, God. We all fall short. But, Father, we just ask that you'd speak to us in the way that you want to speak to us, Lord, that you'd move, that you'd show us what your will is, what you would have us do this week. Father, show us who you want us to reach out to. Show us who you want us to give to and to who to help. Father, show us those times of deeper intimacy, Lord. Show us what meals to give us. Show us the things in our life that are stopping us from pursuing you, God. We know that you love us. We know, God, that you've called us to be your children and that you have mercy and you forgive anyone that comes to you. And so, Father, we just give you our lives. We lay ourselves down at the altar again. I thank you for this body, God. I thank you for how you're moving in this area and in this part of Lansing, God. I thank you for the reaching out that's happening, God. And I just ask that you continue to bless this group, Lord, this part of the body. And Father, we pray for Pastor Dan too, God, that you'd continue to bless him and give him wisdom and everything. So Father, we thank you again for this morning. We just ask that you bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you, God. Thank you for this time of worship this morning. Father, we give ourselves away to you, Father, as we go out into this week, Lord. Father, we lay ourselves down, Father. Use us the way that you would want us to use us. Because, Lord, we know that the only true satisfaction comes from you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to truly lay ourselves down at the altar, Lord. And we even need your help for that. And so, God, we just ask that you would do that by your Spirit, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Now, Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
One day we will grow.